If we were living at the time of Jesus, we would be 10 days since the crucifixion, 1 week from Easter, from the resurrection. The churches, Romania and Ukraine, and that they're celebrating Easter today. So for them, it's still a current thing. And you know, a week later, it was about this time is when Thomas first experienced seeing the resurrected Christ. And you know, it was the disciples still were trying to figure out what in the world happened and what is going on. You know, they'd seen the body, the crucified body. They knew what had happened there, and numerous ones had experienced the resurrection. And even with what they witnessed, what they experienced, they still were trying to grasp and figure out, what in the world does this mean? You know, it's I'm sure they were recounting to each other all the different moments and the teachings of Jesus Christ and the memories of the past 3 years, and trying to make sense of what all of that means from at this point with what you know now, with what you've experienced in the past. You know how it is when you've lost someone you love, how all those memories and all those stories come flooding back. And, you know, people start, you know, thinking about different things. And that's true even if it's because someone rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. You know, you're still separated, so you're still trying to think about that. Smells, they can bring back so many different things. Sounds can bring back so many different things. Someone's behavior, oh, that reminds me of so-and-so. I'm sure they had all those things. And we have in the scriptures, you know, God inspired, but we have the four gospels that tell all these different stories about Jesus Christ. They're trying to figure it out. And they're trying to, all those stories and all those memories are giving them an idea of what this life that died and rose again, what did it stand for? You know, one of the passages, I think, that stories, their memories, teachings that came to their mind is found in Matthew chapter 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so, and during this teaching, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, there's a story about Abraham Lincoln. This was started about the same time Margaret started working at the church. This is when he was an attorney in Illinois. He represented a poor widow who was suing the president of the local bank, and she was asking for $5 in damages. And the bank president, who was a pillar of the community, is alleged to have visited Lincoln's office in the presence of Lincoln's partner, and offered Abe a bribe to throw the case to protect his reputation. And Lincoln is reported to have said, "No, the lady deserves her day in court." And the banker replied, "Well, but it would be humiliating to lose to this widow." So he upped the bribe to $25. Now you figure this is back in the 1800s. That was a fair amount of money. Lincoln refused, and again he said $50, and Lincoln refused, and the banker finally said, "You drive a hard bargain. I'll give you $100 right now." And Abraham Lincoln jumped up, physically grabbed the banker, and threw him out the door and pitched him into the mud outside. And his partner was kind of astonished at this, and he asked, he said, "You know, he tried to bribe you three times, and you didn't mind. And then the fourth time," he said, "you just seemed to blow up." And Abe responded, "He was getting close to my price." See, Abraham Lincoln knew what he valued most. He knew what he valued most, and his reputation as Honest Abe. Jesus also knew what he valued most, and he followed those values clear through his death, the crucifixion, and even to the resurrection, because where his heart was what he cherished most. Sociologist they identify what are called core values. And when we talk about the core of anything, like the core of an apple, we're referring to what is central and what's most important. The core of an apple contains the seeds to promote the future life. Core values, those are the guiding principles we hold that guide our behaviors, actions, and attitudes. It's things that we value so much, we treasure so much, like honest Abe, that we don't want to compromise those at all. And Jesus said, where your treasures are, the things you value, there your heart is also. Your heart follows what you cherish, what you value. Your behavior will indicate where your heart is centered, or what is the very core, central part of yourself. And sociologists will also tell you that there's usually only two or three values that are core or central for your life. You may value a lot of different things, but there's usually only two or three that are really the core or central. And the rest of the other values start to flow out of those or related to those. And you can determine a lot of times core values if you really watch someone's behavior and the things that makes them do what they do. So if you read through the scriptures, read through the gospels, and you look at what Jesus was doing, what things made him act the way he did? What would cause that to act? You know, what was his heart cherishing? When I did that, I found that there were basically three core values for Jesus Christ, three places where his treasure was laid up and that his heart followed that treasure. And they're independent, but yet they're also interrelated to each other. They stand on the power of the ones before and after, and they can stand alone. And I found that the core values of Jesus were this: fellowship with his heavenly Father. That was a primary thing. Secondary was a lifestyle of obedience by faith. And third, love for a lost world. Those three things seemed to control the behavior and the actions, the attitudes of Jesus Christ. He cherished and valued his relationship with the heavenly Father so much that he was constantly slipping away to be alone and to have communion with the Heavenly Father. They'd look for him and he was up and he drifted off because he wanted to be with the Heavenly Father. And when you have a relationship that's important to you, you nurture it, you live into it, you cherish it, you make time for it. And Jesus was constantly doing that between himself and the Heavenly Father. You know, if you start dating someone and you have a real desire for the relationship, you spend time together. And that time together becomes something that's really special. You don't necessarily have to be actively doing all kinds of things. You can just sit and talk. But, you know, you look forward to when you'll be together again and you seek time to be with each other. The relationship grows deeper and closer as you spend time together and growing together. And Jesus did that with the Heavenly Father. So ask yourself, you know, how's your relationship with the Father? Are you seeking time to spend with him? Or is it just part of a checklist of, yeah, I did this today? Are you approaching your time with God like you'd go on a date with someone? Are you seeking to find time to be alone with him? Are you talking and listening with him? And are you growing in what you know about him? You know, Jesus, the temptations he received when he was early on in his ministry, they reveal a lot about his core values, where his heart and relationship were centered. You know, Jesus goes into the wilderness to fast and to pray and to spend time with God, and he's spending that 40 days fasting and praying. Satan comes to him, and the first temptation is to ask him to compromise his values, that time with God. You know, if you are who you say you are, you could command these stones to turn into bread. That would mean, you know, break your fast. Don't spend time in that prayer time with God. You don't need to continue doing that. You can eat. Jesus basically said, you know, there's things that are more important than having bread. Jesus was not willing to allow his ability to create food to stop him from having that quiet time, that important time with the Heavenly Father. Now, his second core value was a lifestyle of obedience by faith. That's what was a central aspect of his teaching. Live a life of love and obedience. And, you know, it's interesting that the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, it's the only one with a promise of a punishment. If you've read through the Ten Commandments, the third commandment has a promise of a punishment. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That's Exodus 20, verse 7. But, you know, we often interpret that as swearing. You know, oh, you used the name of God in vain. Or, you know, you got upset and said, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, people, we think about that as swearing, but it was more than that. The Jewish people thought it had a much greater meaning. They called it Hillel Hashem, meaning profaning the name. And it meant don't live as a people that bear God's name in such a way that his name or reputation would be defamed. How many of you know who George Foreman is? Not just the guy that makes grills now, but the boxer. Have any of you, do you know what his son's names might be? You ever wonder why he would name his sons George? Well, it's because most people don't know the reason, but, you know, he writes in his book the reason why he named all his sons George and a couple of daughters like Georgette and Georgina. And he told all of them that as they grow up, I don't ever want to wake up and find my name in the newspaper for something that's not respectable or not good. And I don't want you to ever wake up and find your name in the newspaper because of something your brother did or your sister did. That you bear each other's name and everything you do reflects on every one of us. That was his reason. First, you think it's kind of conceited, and you know, well, what name your all your kids? But then you find out that he's like, I want you to live a life that's worthy of each other. And that's the same that's true of us as Jesus Christ, as Christians, that our behavior reflects upon God himself. So we need to make sure we live a lifestyle of obedience by faith, that our behavior does not profane the name of Jesus Christ. So many times I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't want to be a Christian because that's just a bunch of hypocrites. People are looking at the behavior of those who proclaim the name of Christ but don't live the name of Christ. And the second temptation for Jesus in the wilderness was to test his obedience of faith and trust. So he takes him the highest part of the temple and he says, you know, if you're who you say you are, and God says he'll raise you up, bear you up on eagle's wings, so jump off and prove it. Now part of the aspect of obedience and faith, that's tied also to the first one, of a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because Jesus, basically, he says to him, you know, I don't have to live in such a way for God to prove anything to me. You know, we have such a relationship, he doesn't have to keep proving it. I can live obediently without putting God to the test. He cherished that relationship and he cherished a lifestyle of obedience that would honor that relationship such that he wouldn't do that. Are we walking in a way that honors God? Are there parts of our life that we need to repent of? Well, the third core value, which we all are pretty much aware of, is that Jesus had a love for the lost world. You know, because of his love for this world, he left heaven and he came and he lived among us. And because of his love for us, he suffered and died on Good Friday. And because of his love for us and his Father's will, he gave himself as a ransom. And he was willing to pay the penalty for all of us. And he also loved us so much that he didn't stay in the grave. That he would conquer death completely Now the devil, the third temptation, tried to tempt Jesus and such. He said, you know, look at everything I'll give you. I'll give you all the different kingdoms of this world. You know, just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus loved you so much that just like Honest Abe, he said, my love is so great, you can't buy me off of this. It says the devil left him, basically tossed out in the street in the mud like Abraham Lincoln did. You know, Jesus wrestled with that same choice in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he chose to be obedient to God because of his love for you. And he died, and he conquered death. He rose again because of you. How will you respond to the great love of Jesus Christ? And we continue, we so often we celebrate holidays, Easter, Christmas, and the next week it's over, we don't think about it anymore, we move on, decorations come down. But the resurrection, that needs to be something that we think about and contemplate on every day. The Heavenly Father wants a relationship with you. He wants you to bear his name. He's willing to sacrifice his own son. Where's your heart? What values do you have?